you, America. Welcome to the tall war. Loyalty lies only with warrior, and they will scrap only if I give them the order. And you feeling itchy, you got something to say? Just know we hop this way. Nobody else is suited for this other than us. I know it's crazy, but we work with it and don't give a what. Welcome to the show. If you don't know the name, we call it Hop This Way.
Boom!
Boom! Welcome back, all our itchy onions. We've got almost a full cast here. Missing Miss Rebecca Nishi this week, of course. Hoping she'll join us in a little bit. Matt isn't with us this week. He is doing the honorable thing. He is an actor in the States, and they've got the WGA and the Screen Actors Guild strike going on right now. So he's showing solidarity with his brothers and sisters there and taking time off. I would join as well, but I am non-union and I'm Canadian. We don't have the strike going on here. So, my thoughts are with everybody out there. And we will get a little bit into the AI talk, I think, later on in the show, seeing how it could affect shows like this, especially what we've seen in Marvel with how they've taken out a lot of their stunt performers in favor of AI fights instead. So it's a dawning of a new age. But this week, though, we've got the right people to talk about it. We have got our own, the mistress of the mallet, the one and only Tong Diva, our a toy, if you will, Miss Stephanie Young-Pratt. How are you?
Oh, great. Where are my weapons? I have lots of weapons around.
Yeah, we're always nervous when you got weapons around. How are you doing?
Good. I geeking out over this episode. Of course. Oh,
this was a great one. This was a quick one. And of course, helping us break it down, none other than the master himself, our professor and yours, the one and only Mr. Frank Zhang. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. This feels like a nice little bridge episode. So glad we were able to jump on to the folks out there. Sorry we couldn't do it at our regularly scheduled time, but looking forward to talking with you guys.
Exactly. Yeah, things happened. We couldn't make it on Sunday, but we will be back regular time next week. And once this whole strike is over, we'll have Matt back. But you know who we do have back right now? The one and only, the yoga instructor from Brazil, your favorite and mine, Miss Rebecca Nishi. How are you, Rebecca?
Hello, I'm fine.
Good to see you. Welcome. So we're going to get into this. We've got a lot of first-time viewers here on YouTube. Thank you so much to anyone who is watching us on YouTube. If you don't know, now you know, the Hop This Way show on YouTube. Please go watch us there. Give us a like and a subscribe. And you could also hear us on all your podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, get in the know. And thank you, everyone who is tuning in. We've got a first-timer here, Custom for the Kids, says first time chatting this live. Thank you.
Hello.
Welcome to the
Tom.
I love this comment to come with next. Anyone other than myself want to see a complete warrior action figure line?
Oh,
I am like, if I was downstairs in my studio basement, I would be able to pull out the amount of action figures I have, including a Bruce Lee. I definitely would love to see that. And I would be the mark that would buy it all.
Me too.
A Toys Brothel staircase playset. I love it.
That's good.
Oh, you can get some sticky with your toys. Wait, no, that got
Barbie
weird.
House or something.
Oh my God, it would be like a Barbie house. I love it, Rebecca. The Bombshell Blurred. Hello, Blurred. Good to see you. I'd buy it.
Hello.
I volunteered to fill in for Matt. Hey, we'll have to check your credentials. I don't know if anybody could fill in for Matt. He is our young June, our crazy one, if you will, of the bunch. Now, speaking of young June, what an episode we had here that was just full of the young June and some others. We won't get to the spoiler yet. This is going to be a spoiler-filled show, and it's almost been a week anyways, folks. Sup, Rod? Thanks for watching. Glad to see you. Let's dive right into this. Before we start off at the beginning, let me start with you, Rebecca. What did you think of this episode?
Crazy. And surprising that Father June appeared in such a surprising way. We didn't know how he would come back, and that was totally unexpected. And also, Kieran is killing it in each episode.
Yes.
He's right. Deserves an Emmy.
We were talking before the show, and I said, and this is going to be a spoiler, but Bill is my MVP of this episode for sure.
Because he took the courage to do what he was not doing and go after his wife and do what is right. I mean, he got lost in his job. He started like being a cop because he wanted to do the right thing, like to be a police officer is like a real noble job, but he got lost in the way.
Yeah, he definitely did. Frank, what did you think of this episode?
One of the things it made me think about was this. It has been throughout the whole show. It's like, who really has the power, right? Is it the guy in the front? Is it the guy behind, right? Because remember how Buckley was talking with his now lover, Miss Archer there, when he was saying that when Blake was the mayor, he was just the one. He was more content with being the one behind the scenes and not the. He called him the idiot in the front, or paraphrasing.
Right.
And he said, now that man is me. So if that man is him, is she now the woman? Or is someone else?
I always wonder about this guy too.
Yeah. There's a lot of those sideways glances at his face, right? Is he going to betray Buckley? Especially since Buckley essentially threatened to fire him.
Yeah, exactly. Which we saw right here at the after the opening of the show. We see Buckley opening on stage, delivering an unimpassioned speech to the citizens of San Fran, and they just weren't digging it. Before we get to that stuff, what did you think of this episode?
Well, we already know I have my feelings about how everything went down with Mai Ling and the whole episode starting with the delousing. That was strong. And that was very impactful. And, jump over to how Buckley speaks to her now that she's in this position and, I can just deport you. She's just, now seen as possibly expendable, but we know that's not where Mai Ling is going to rest. And so, back to who holds the power and seeing, how she maneuvers, and she's behind bars. So, Assam talked, we see it. Assam goes and talks to her. I mean, again, we're jumping forward, but to start the episode with that, of course, that was an emotional thing for me because the entire whole treatment that, the Chinese were subhuman. So it's right there. She goes from dressed to the nines and, in the pond in society to, very quickly you are getting sprayed down. And so that to start the episode that way, talk about a way to kick it off. It was emotional.
Yeah. Definitely. Let's get into it. We start, we see that, of course, and then we move from there to we see Buckley's speech as we talked about, right? Buckley delivering his speech to the denizens of San Francisco and kind of talking down to a subordinate here who I think is going to end up betraying Buckley at some point this season.
You're right. They show him a lot.
They definitely do. And he's always getting treated like shit by Buckley. And he is a loyal servant, even though he knows he's on a losing team. But as Buckley finishes up, the camera focuses over on Assam and Hong. And Hong is just itching to fight. And he's like, we can take these guards on. And Assam's like, come on, man, use your brain. We got to go slow on this.
To add to that, notice how they filmed it. Did you notice that? Like, if you pan out, no one's going to notice the Chinese. And the way they zoomed in and they're over in the little corner, you know, it's just, hey, no one's paying attention to these Chinese dudes in the back. They mean nothing. But meanwhile, haha. It's two key people.
Exactly. Derek Chin says, Stephanie had some major triggers this episode.
You know I did. Oh, my God.
This episode? Like, just
this
last
one? Episode. Oh, whatever. Okay. last
the bombshell blurred says, I can't wait to see Mai Ling get revenge on Eliza. And I know you talked a lot about that last week, Steph. And we talked a little bit before the show. Do we think that they have... Like, were they bought off? Was this set up, or was this generally something that she just felt slighted because her man wanted Mai Ling?
Like I said, this is classic. You could see him flirting with her right from the get-go. Mm. Every single way Bernard was speaking to her, you know, it was dripping, you know, that male domination. And it doesn't take long, you know. I mean, I think Eliza had genuine intentions to start with, but as soon as she sees that, I'm sorry. That's what I was saying before. This is telltale, you know, woman scorned. Well, no, I'm going to get rid of the competition.
And then it ended up with Mai Ling getting deloused in jail. Yep. And then from there, though. Sorry. What was that, Frank?
The racism came out of Eliza real quick.
Right? It didn't take long. Didn't take long.
And again, you know, I even talked to Derek on the side about this. We had a whole discussion because, you know, again, we talk about the action. We talk about how dynamic this series is, but we know how many times it comes back to some of the social, you know, social portions and the social impact. And why do you think it affected me? Why do you think I said those things? Because that is behavior I have seen very many a time. And, you know, I have plenty of people I know who've experienced that just in today's version. Mm-hmm.
For sure. The bombshell blurred says, yes, he was so fascinated with Mai Ling. I knew he'd try something and Eliza was too insecure. You both are on the same page there. Most definitely. Now, from there, we see Mai Ling in jail and then we shift focus to from the leader of the Longzi to the leader of the Hop Wei in jail. And this scene right here, I'm an American. Oh my God. This one hit hard. Frank, what did you think about this scene?
So when you have a specific group that is ostracized and targeted, people who are in that group or look like they may be members of that group may try to disassociate themselves in some way, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, in this case, Youngjin was desperate, so it's not surprising that he'll say anything to try to not get deported, right? So, of course, he was trying to make the claim, you know, I was born here, I'm an American, trying to disassociate in some way. And you see that in different forms, right? You see people saying, oh, well, I'm not Chinese, I'm something else, or I'm not Japanese, I'm something else, I'm not Korean, I'm something else, right?
Right.
And the guard was doing what probably a lot of folks have told us, who have told people who may have tried to disassociate in any way. It's like, no, you still look the same to them,
right?
You still speak the same. And the chief said in the last episode, yeah, you might have the nice suits, but I still see the same subhuman excrement that I would see if I were going through and clearing out one of the overloaded apartments.
God, I hate that guy.
That's what I saw. I saw a quick commentary on attempts by certain people within different groups to disassociate with that group and the fact that ultimately it's not going to work. Mm. Right? At least not most of the time. At some point, it's going to come out.
Well said.
Yeah. I was talking about this here in Brazil because this is a new country. Everybody came from somewhere, if you're not indigenous relative, you know, you came from somewhere out of Brazil. But because we look like that, we are considered foreign, and other people that are just white, you know, they can completely be mixed and be considered Brazilian. And I am considered Japanese, but I my father was born here, I was born here. And because I look like that, people treat me like a stranger, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's it on that scene. That's he's that. American.
But he's and not. That's not even in America, right? Like, this is Brazil. Yeah. Like, it goes to show you how worldwide that prejudice and racism can reach, right?
And what it takes even... to set that off. Sorry, Steph. But what takes to set that off, because Mylene was able to get into different circles for a while because she spoke good English and was able to tell her story. And but as soon as Eliza felt like she was being violated in some way, boom, it all went away. As soon as, well, Young June's situation was different, but he still picked a fight in his way, right, in a very specific way. And as soon as he did that, boom, he's on the deportation docks, you know. So
yeah,
in this story, in this universe, especially when it was so much more precarious for Chinese in the U.S., right, it could fall into that almost immediately. It doesn't take much.
Yep. Eliza was treating her as a pet. Is like she was a pet that she was showing off when she was a threat on taking her place some level.
She's remember I called it the shiny penny.
Yeah.
The shiny penny syndrome, you know? Oh, the shiny new penny, this exotic penny.
I was trying to read that.
The bombshell blurred says, I always feel bad for Young June. He definitely deals with a little identity crisis, not having been born in China, not formally trained in martial arts, but still not feeling American either. That's a great point. And he also, like for the first two seasons, let's not forget how ostracized he always, not always, but a lot of times he was from Father June, like the person he looks up to the most. And then once he finds someone that he feels he's got a kindred brotherhood with Assam, we start to see that fortune starts favoring Assam more, especially in the public eye to the Chinese in Little China, right? So I think she's got a great point.
Little
here.
China.
Welcome
little
to
Little China. Chinatown. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Is there big trouble there? No.
There is big trouble here. I was looking for a good old Jack Burton. You know, it's all in the reflexes. There's a deep cut, folks. So Young June is in jail. The guard's not having it. And Young June meets a new friend. And this guy's like, yo, I'll do whatever for you because, you know, it's not every day you meet the leader of the Hop Way. And Young June thinks he's got himself a new ally, you know, someone he could stick with. And they go to his new ally's barracks where he meets the rest of the inmates there. And they're all from, they've all been affected by the Hop Way in a negative way. And they all want their comeuppance. And basically, Young June does his best to fight them all off. But there's far too many of them. And Young June ends up worse for the wear. Had it not be for the guards coming in, Young June would be no longer with us. I just thought this was really nice to see Young June display his fighting skills minus the knives. But did you notice he went like out of habit behind his back? And he's like, oh, fuck. All right, here we go.
Again, I the really way they laid that up with the match.
Right. I really want to get, Frank, I want to get your opinion on this fight scene. Was there a lot in this fight scene or was there... What was this fight scene good because he had done so much, or was it good because he had done so little and made it look like it was more than what it was?
What do you mean? Like he had done so much versus done so little?
Just in the
as
fight,
as far as the actual action.
Yeah.
Well, it makes me think of what Brett was talking about and what Johnny was talking about when we had them on last year, right? And when they were talking about how they try to choreograph the action based off of the situation, based off of the person, even though it might be the same movement. And it lets us know a little bit more about Young June's character and ability, right? One of the other comments by, sorry, I forgot your whole name, something blurred, where she was talking about how Young June is not formally trained in martial, there we go, the bombshell blurred, okay. The identity crisis, I'll talk about that in a second too. And not formally trained in martial arts, so he's a brawler, really.
He really is a brawler.
He's a small guy, so you would think you would associate that with, you know, finesse, especially the stereotype of being a Chinese fighter, right? Mm-hmm. But he really is a brawler. Without his blades, he resorts to just kind of doing whatever he can, you know, almost mm-hmm. almost like a Chow, but more skilled than Chow, seems like.
Right. Like he did that part where he's fending them all off with the chair and he's doing that helicopter mm-hmm. kind of twirl. And it bought him some time. It bought choking him some time.
The sheet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, exactly.
And the fingers.
Steph, what did you think of this fight scene?
I mean, I loved it. But yeah, it was survival mode. You can tell he's doing whatever he can to, you know, pick off one person at a time. And it just keeps going around. So yes, back to, you know, what Frank said about the actual style of filming it. We just keep going around. But I think it's scrappy survival mode. Frank hit the nail on the head. He's a brawler. And that's like, you know, he's going to fight for his life, you know.
And being our resident finesse yogi here, Becca, yeah, there wasn't much finesse in this fight, was there?
That was a finesse segue, Zeus.
Thank you. That's what I do. That's why I'm the host.
Well, I was impressed when he looked for his hatchet and he mm-hmm. didn't have. I was like, oh my God, what he's going to do? And then he showed some skills. And I was impressed. I liked the scene very much.
Good amount of push kicks and the finger thing got me. The finger.
Oh, the finger snaps. Yeah, and then kicking off the wall like the bombshell blurb says. Robert Carl Ringo, thanks for joining, my friend. It was a desperate survival melee. Young June stood tall. He did up until he didn't.
But it wasn't a goofy way. He was like skilled, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, and I like that. And like you said, Brett, and Brett is, it's not long before we see Brett as just the next big name in action movies, especially as directors. Like, he's going to be the next Michael Bay without the explosions, you know. but like you said, Frank, he looks individually at each fighter and knows that each fighter has their own kind of strengths and weaknesses, and he plays into that, into telling the story as well, not just here's what's going to look good as a fight and this is what he would do. He tells that story as well.
Yeah, he was surrounded by people who were upset at what the Tong had done to their families, so mm-hmm. that's another topic as well. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Which they really laid it up by showing the scene where he was, you know, he was about to smack down in the printer shop, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they showed the enforcer side, and it leads right into, well, look, here's the other end of it. Karma got you, Young Jun, you know. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's actually neat seeing all the, some of the stunt people, though, that we met some of them. seeing some of their faces.
Derek says, one thing you notice when Assam hits someone, they stay down. With Young June, they kept getting back up. Yeah, but that's the training, though, right? You know,
He has a strong kick and a strong fist.
All right. So Young June goes out, and then Steph mentioned it earlier. We hear Father Young's voice, Father June's voice, and then. I like Frank, I thought this was a dream sequence. I thought he was just imagining him being there. And then he's actually there in the jail as well. What were you thinking at that point, Rebecca? Did you think this was a dream sequence or were you just too happy to see Perry?
Yeah, for a moment I thought that maybe Young Jun was like delusional.
Right.
Because of the head hit.
Right.
And all that. But then when the scene goes on and we actually know that Father June's there, it's almost emotional.
Most
I thought I was going to cry.
Steph, what about you? What were you thinking when you see Perry come up?
Oh, I screamed. I screamed at the TV. Are you kidding me? Because, you know, we've all been wondering, you know, what happened? What happened? We have all of these things going through our heads. And it also makes sense. He didn't necessarily get very far. know, in the grand scheme. And then look, they're in the same boat. So that was just emotional. I mean, the two of them seeing each other and having that exchange and that acknowledgement between the two of the father son portion outside of Chinatown was just, that meant a lot. It was, you know, it was a mushy, you know, schmoopy moment, but that, you know, man to man, like, okay, well, we're here and now we're locked up. Like, we know where we are. You know, it wasn't what I expected. Definitely was not what I expected.
Now, before all this happened, or while this is all happening, we know that Maya's in jail as well. We saw her in the shower there. And then the Long Z has a meeting with the heads. And they're not cool with, they're kind of cool, I should say, with her being in jail. And they really don't want to let her out, much to Lee Young's dismay. What are you guys thinking at this point? Is Mai Ling lost control? Like, it seems the only one that believes in her still at this point is her betrothed.
I don't know about that anymore. Because when they say choose a side, I'm wondering, it's showing how more and more of the characters could fall under the influence of that quote, right? Choose a side. So Leon's, you see the hesitation in his eyes when jumping ahead, when Mai Ling proposes to him at the end, right?
Yeah.
Talking about how much she loves him, talk about how she missed him. And maybe she does, maybe she did, right? But at this point, Leon's pretty wise to the fact that Mai Ling's always got an ulterior motive, especially since the elders revealed to him that she was investing that much money without telling him. And now he's getting dragged through with it because they're assuming that he did know and that he went with it. So Kong Pak's still there trying to do the influence, being the influence, like, hey, you should be doing this. You should be doing this. Did you know this about Mai Ling? So I wonder how far Leon is. Right. Yeah.
Well, he even said you're compliant.
How far is he just from kind of leading his own little faction, you know? What did you say, Zeus?
Oh, I was just saying, he even said that Leung was compliant, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, so things are not good over there either. There's going to be a power play, I think, at some point. And I don't think Mai Ling is long for the Long Z, if you will. No pun intended there. That was just a happy coincidence. I don't even think Leung believes in her. But he accepted her proposal, though. That's the whole thing. I know we jumped ahead there.
I think he may think if she was manipulating him, but also in the same time, he was happy, surprised, and happy that she proposed. I think he was like mixed feelings on that moment.
Robert Carl Ringel says she lost a third of the Tong's money. Their patience is wearing thin. And the bombshell blurt says he's going to have to Jon Snow her.
I still don't get these Game of Thrones references yet. So.
Yeah, Jon Snow killed his aunt that was also his lover, right? Wasn't Daenerys? Yeah. Anyways, you're not missing much. You're not missing much. It was. Yeah. How about them sabers, though? How about this halfway show? So Mai Ling's in there. Obviously, we jumped and said that she proposes, and the whole reason why she gets that opportunity is because Leung goes and sends a bribe out, if you will. I did have the thing here, but can't find it anywhere. Anyways, so this is against the Tong's better judgment. The rest of the Tong doesn't know this, right? That he's going and paying off this bribe because he's all in at this point, I think. I think he thinks he doesn't have a choice but to be all in with her. Or am I?
Yeah, especially if they're starting to alienate him also.
Oh, exactly.
But maybe he's also conflicted. And then there's the Kong Pak factor. You know, what's he going to do if he gets to a point where he says, okay, this guy's not listening to me. I got to do it myself. Because he was a leader of a Tong up until very recently. Mm-hmm. So
right.
you know, well, he still has that leadership ability, and I'm sure he still has a following. So I'm curious to see if they bring any of that out in the future episodes.
Yeah. So then we saw Lee Young is paying off, and this was the journalist from the first couple seasons, or was he just private detective?
Ex Pinkerton. Yeah.
Oh, right, right. And we see that Lee Young pays him off to get Mai Ling out.
And plays Mai Ling's last card with Buckley.
Exactly, as we see here. But she plays it cool, though, honestly. Like, she comes out of that one saying, you know, I'll crush the Hop Way. And, you know, we've got a deal now. Is there a way for Mai Ling to salvage everything? Because I don't see – it's not looking good for her towards the end of this season. I don't think they're going to – I don't think they'll kill her off, but I don't think by the end of this season she'll be the leader of the Long Z.
She's trying to get a Som on her side. Seems like that's starting to crack through a little bit.
We can finally work together.
Could we see a third Tong start that's headed up by Mai Ling and a Som? If they're both outed? Because we even see him in this one. Like, when he's talking to her, he says he's happy she's out of jail.
But who would follow them? I mean, who would leave Hopway to follow Assam? Who would leave Long Z to follow her? I don't know.
I could see Lee Young following, and then with Assam, I mean, he is the hero of Chinatown, right?
Yeah, but what if Zing gets out of jail, too?
Well, we know that's coming at some point. I'm wondering if it's next episode with Brett. For real.
Brett put up a post too.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. But you guys aren't frogs and I'm not a rabbit, so let's not jump ahead too much here.
Oh my god, dad jokes.
It's what I do. I've lost our spot here, but that's okay. We showed Buckley doing his little speech there. And then Buckley got a little sticky.
Oh,
he got a little sticky.
You have everything I need.
Was anybody expecting that?
I didn't think I would see in this series. Buckley getting sticky. Oh my God.
Right? I think that's got to be, you know, a t-shirt. I never thought I'd see Buckley get sticky. The blonde bomb just says, if Young June tells Father June about Assam and Mai Ling being related, they might have to start their own Tong.
Very good.
He doesn't know that, though. He kept that to himself.
He left before Mai Ling did that reveal, right? Or at least separately.
Oh, true. But I would think the rest of the Tong might know. Or at least Hong.
Wait, what is her name again? She wants to be his, you know, campaign manager. This little opportunist.
Catherine,
what's her name?
Catherine Archer, I think. Yeah.
So yeah, Catherine Archer, you have everything I need. Basically, she's saying that Buckley is packing, or what?
Well, she grabbed it. She grabbed his. She grabbed his member of parliament.
He's that stag, you know.
Everybody deserves some sticky, but his sticky made me feel icky, right? It wasn't like when he was on Banshee and he got some sticky on that show.
Definitely not.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I guess
such a different character. Like, just goes to show how great of an actor Langley is, though, honestly. Because it's such a drastically different character, different accents as well. I mean, yeah, what a pro. So yeah, Buckley's trying to take over. Buckley gets a little sticky. And then we see this D-bag. That's literally what I have this photo labeled as, D-bag. Because I don't think I've hated a character on this show as much as I hate this guy. And I really hope at some point he gets unalived. The character, of course. Not the actor, who's doing a great job. But we see that they're in Chinatown and they're taking everybody in. And this is mostly just on Hop Way territory as well. And they're taking kids as well. and Bill sees this, and Bill's like had enough and tries to take the a kid away, and he's told by the new chief, you know, if you don't like it here, you can quit. And Bill's like, you know what? Maybe I do. And he tosses his badge and leaves. And then we see him meeting up with his old buddy, Officer Lee, on his porch. What a fucking story arc for Bill. Mm. What a character arc from the first season to where we are now. Because you know me, for the first couple seasons, I've had my trouble like dealing with his redemption story. Not that there was anything wrong with it. It's just I hadn't felt him redeemed yet. And I feel like finally this episode, I'm okay with saying, yeah, he's got his full redemption now. I think the badge was just like that perfect stamp on the end, if you will. What did you guys think? Frank, what did you think of Bill's kind of character development here?
I'm just curious to see what he's going to be like as a ex-cop now. And it made me think of I went back and watched the short preview episodes that Max, well, before it was Max, put out for the preview for Warrior. And they were talking about how in the original script and the original plans that Bruce Lee drew up, Big Bill is one of the main characters, and he's a friend of Assam. So how much are they going to imitate that in this version? Is what I'm wondering about. Mm. And as an ex-cop, he still has a lot of loyalty. He's from the cops within the department and also probably within the Irish community overall, because I'm sure the writers could potentially bring out people in the community that he's helped throughout his years as a cop. So what could he do, or what would he do? If he starts to develop some level of empathy and sympathy for the Chinese community there,
right? Or does he go the opposite way and start working for Leary?
Well, he said he's gonna work for Horace.
Yeah, who is Horace again?
His brother.
Aside from the Egyptian god. Oh, that's Horus. I'm sorry. Dad jokes. I got him. Bill makes me cry more than any other character. Aww. I believe in him. LOL, says the blonde, the bombshell blurred. Yeah, I mean, it took me a while because he did some really skeezy stuff the first couple seasons. And I was all right with Lucy leaving him. But yeah, he was showing his way here. But we go from Bill and Lee talking to Assam meeting up with his girlfriend after their place had been raided by the Secret Service and Officer Lee. And that was, I mean, you could see the Secret Service guy, I've always kind of felt like, you know, he could be cruel and deadly, but he always seemed to have a little bit of honor to him. This episode seemed like he had none at all. Like, especially when they were ransacking the printing shop. Or was that just me? You guys?
Looks like good cop, bad cop. He likes playing that. You know, he didn't have to toss things over, but, you know, there was a little bit of like, you know, I'm going to intimidate. I'm going to show some force that, like the little snarkiness, like.
He's more powerful than any other law enforcement officer in the show. So it wouldn't surprise me if he wanted to, you know, wave his dick around a little bit and just kind of do, yeah, I'm doing this because I can. And not even your chief can stop me if I want something, you know, so.
Exactly.
I think he's completely sadistic.
Really?
I like that. That was good.
He definitely could be very sadistic.
That big grin.
He's just a sociopath, if you will. Spencer Benjamin Yee, thank you for joining. Lee made Bill a better person. Absolutely. What a great, is that the greatest bromance on this show? Is there a better bromance on this show? Like we all want to say Assam and Young Jun, but there's so much tension there always. And it feels like Lee genuinely cares about Bill and Bill genuinely cares about Lee.
Mm-hmm. I'm not the only cunt on this porch.
I literally have that picture in my file and it's labeled cunt.
I love it.
It was such a great line. I didn't add it on here though, just in case.
But it's kind of bothering me that Asan is like feels like losing importance in this season. He's not like he's always in season one and two, my favorite character. But now he doesn't even look like the main character.
Oh, really?
In this season.
See, I still see him as the main character. I just love that I love that they're fleshing out all of the other character stories that we've grown to know over the first two seasons. But every episode seems to be Assam-centric. Like, this one even seemed to be... Well, I guess this one was more about young June and Mai Ling.
He always has to be the hero, but the line of his girlfriend saying to him, you can't promise me that.
And she's true. He can't promise to protect her.
Mm-hmm.
But
really, he used to be the superhero of the city, so it's kind of bothering me that he's not like the superhero anymore.
Fair enough. Well, what about this then? So after this happens, we see Mrs. Davenport return to a toy's place, and she's got dresses for all the girls, Lai included. And a toy basically tells her to beat feet. I mean, this is obviously some hard love she's trying to impart here, eh, Steph?
Yeah, it's like, well, this was a nice experiment and it was fun while it lasted, but this doesn't work. So we're not going to make that same mistake again. And she's right. I mean, it was a lovely idea, but she's basically saying this put us more at risk and we lost lives. So we can't take this risk again. And you see Davenport so heartbroken, but Atoy's right. You know, stick with the devil, you know.
That's right. And she still feels she's the best protector for her girls, right? But we also saw, though, you know, this didn't sit well with Lai. And Lai tried to attack Atoy. I don't think she really was really trying here, but Atoy put her down hard and easy and was like, yo, you're not ready, Lai, and neither am I. I mean, which is very telling from her because she is such a powerful character on this show. And not just on the show, but a powerful leader to all those girls, and especially Lai. Like, she's like Lai's mother, like her surrogate, basically. And she's saying, listen, even I'm not ready. I think that was a pretty big moment in the show.
Yeah, it's because Lai would used to worship Atoy, you know, and she's disappointed now and she's angry.
Very good point.
I agree. So from there, that didn't go too well, but we go from one unhappy reunion to what we hope is going to be a happy reunion. And I mean, Bill's like, I quit, and he's laying it all out on the line here for Lucy. And oh my God, Emily's great. Like, what a great pair these two are. And she gets up, and I'm telling you, when she got up, I thought she was leaving. I legit thought she was leaving. And then, boom, she lays one of the biggest smackaroos on him, on Bill, that I think it surprised him as much as it surprised us. What a great feel-good moment, I mean, for Bill. Like,
I'm rooting for this couple.
I think everyone loved that scene. I think that was such the feel-good scene for everyone.
And that's the one thing that I really do like about the show that I don't think gets enough appreciation, is that there is a lot of hope and a lot of rooting for good people on the show. Just took me a while to see that Bill could become a good person again. The bombshell blurt says, are Atoy and Lai from the same place?
Yes.
I'd like more backstory. She recognized the village Lai was from when they met, and both are skilled. Makes me wonder.
Because of the sword. The sword, yep. Swordswomanship.
Are they from the same place though? Same place, yes. China, or?
They never say where this Atoy is from.
And where's the like the original, the one that she's based on from?
Southern China. A lot of those.
Taishan. Taishan. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I meant to grab the picture too. Was you guys shared it online?
I'm twice on ease.
I think we shared it in the group, maybe, or it was shared maybe on the Warrior group page. But Happy Jack was a white dude, and they showed the actual picture of the real Happy Jack.
I think Derek put that up. Did Derek put that up?
It was Derek Chin. That's right. That's right.
Nice. I'll have to find out.
Such a wealth of information, Derek. Mm-hmm.
I know, right? Derek, you need to be our producer. I mean, he's not in Chinatown anymore. Who are we talking about in China? Not in Chinatown anymore.
Bill?
Yeah, I guess Bill.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And that's why she's welcoming back and happy he's done what he said he was going to do.
Finally.
What is he?
Yes, Bill. Yeah, we got you, brother. I actually teared up. Me too, Derek. Yeah. Me too. Like, such a great episode. And I mean, I think one of the best things you can say about an episode is that it goes by so quickly. And there was no deviation in the time. You know, like it was a normal length episode, but it didn't feel that way at all.
And speaking about being a good actor, Emily Child is not in the social media too much. So you don't know her very much, but she's completely different from Lucy. She's so cheerful and, I mean, not like Lucy, very, you know,
right.
Straight and right. She likes to drink.
Right, because we see Lucy always with a very serious face.
Yeah.
And you know.
Well, we've had her on the show, which was great. And you guys met her up there when you guys were in South Africa?
Yes. And she's being real.
And you went sailing with her.
Oh, nice.
Keep rubbing it in. I've got my passport. We're going. Simon said we could stay at his place. All right. And Derek says, yes, I am. Yes, you are what? Going to be our producer?
A wealth of information.
Well, he is. Oh, and also very, very humble. All right. So then we get to this point where Assam and Hong are working over one of the officers trying to figure out how they can get into the jail to free young June. Now, Hong and Assam, this is the first time I've ever seen them at odds.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the beginning of a split there? Are we starting to see who he sides with more? Because he's always been like straight down the middle. Like whenever Assam and Young June are beefing, he's usually the calming force, you know, and he plays it usually straight down the middle. But can he be starting to show that he's... Sorry?
I think he's just eager. Like, I think he's stressed. Like, he, you know, he think of how many times Young Jun just said, this is my dude. He's crazy, but this is my dude. Mm-hmm. And so I think Hong is very anxious and wanting to get him out. And that's where he's having this sense of urgency. And he's speaking up. But he's also been very watchful if you see some of those other scenes. Like, he's been, you know, we saw, you know, Bolo as more of like an enforcer, right? But in a lot of the scenes in this season, you see Hong being more watchful. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, in the printer shop, he's sort of smoothing something over. He's actually evolved into a different role, you know, more of like a right hand. And I think this is more personal. Like, this is making it more hit home for him. And, you know, this is him speaking up. Mm-hmm. And then, but I mean, if you look at this scene and the way that Assam explains it to him, he's calming Hong down and bringing him down to earth of like, this is how we have to do it. So I think that's the impression I got from Hong's behavior.
Yeah, because Assam even mentions, he's like, when I was in jail, they left me there. And he's like, what? So this is some type of revenge? You're like, no, it was the right thing to do. And it was the right thing for them to do, to wait and try to figure out how to do it. And he's like, well, whatever you did to get out, make sure you do it again. And that's where we see Assam go visit Mai Ling.
Off of Hong's idea.
But did Hong know that, though? Because he's just like, just whatever you did last time, just do it again. And so, mm-hmm. yeah. And Mai Ling, absolutely works a psalm here. I mean, he tries to first he tries to pay her off with the fake chop, though, and she burns it right in front of him. And then she's like, yeah, I'll get your guy out, but I want half your shit. It's like straight out of a divorce. And Asam had, yeah, Asam had no choice whatsoever. Well,
when you said, I'll give you a thousand reasons, I almost laughed because it was like one of those goofy bribe scenes. Was like, I got a friend named Washington Jackson Hamilton that says I should be let into the club. You know, so that was and so it was perfect that Mylene burned one of them.
Yeah, because not only did she burn that, she burned him. I will not stop with the dad jokes tonight. I promise. So we see that they talk about working out a deal to get young June out of jail. But from there, I want to kind of go over to Chow because he was kind of working his machinations, if you will, and going to see Happy Jack. Now, this is after him and Asam talk, though, and talking about trying to get rid of Chow's problem with Lee. And Chow's like, yo, man, I need you to take care of this problem. I hear you don't like this guy either. You know, this could be mutually beneficial to the both of us. What the fuck is going on with Chow and Lee? Like, did Lee really deserve to get offed in this situation? He's probably the most honest guy on the show.
Chow never liked Lee.
No.
From the first time he saw him, he never liked him. That's why Bill always wanted to interfere now. At his new job, like, let me talk to him because he doesn't like you, and Lee didn't listen to him. Like, I want to do my way.
Yeah. Well, the bombshell blurred thought that was funny. She says, but can they flip the operation onto the Long Z when the Secret Service cracks down? Mylene has been slipping a lot lately. This could be another bad move. Yeah, we talked about that earlier. It definitely seems like Mylene's making a lot of bad decisions and a lot of noticeably bad decisions that are her decisions. It doesn't look good for her.
It makes me think of what was it Lee Young or Compaq who said it was like, is she doing things for herself or for the Tong? So maybe it's not bad decisions. Maybe it's not bad decisions. It's just good decisions for her versus the Long Z. Because, I mean, I don't think anyone really feels like she would put the Tong before herself. So maybe she's probably just been working for herself the whole time, which a survivor like Mylene would do.
Yeah, exactly.
She had to get out from being the constantly abused wife of a warlord in China in this story. And then, you know, Long Z loved her, but she clearly didn't love him enough to, well, not stab him to death. And now Lee Young, because maybe Lee Young's thinking about that too. It's like, well, the last guy who married her ended up getting stabbed in his bed. So, you know.
Yeah, so that's...
Where am I going here?
That's not looking too good for Lee Young then.
If we go back a little bit to the conversation between Asam and Mylene, notice how he could be buttering her up, but he gave her quite a few compliments. First, he said, well, I'm glad you're out. Now, is he really buttering her up? Because he's about to pitch something to her, right? So notice how he also makes comments about how she was able to get out and how she got him out and giving her props for her connections. And all of the things that she's laid, you know, as far as foundations, all of her little manipulations means that she's been in a position to do these. Okay. Yeah. So he's giving her credit, but, you know, yes, she's making all of these decisions, but every single time something lands in her lap and she has something that she can make a move and it makes changes. So the question, yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, she pivots and makes something else happen.
Yeah, she's got a lot of plans going though. That's just her. She's what's the term? Machiavellian. Mm. She's a very Machiavellian type of character.
So. A little bit narcissist. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So while that's all happening, Mai Ling and Li Yang decide they're going to get married. Can't wait. I'm sure that wedding will be as great as the wedding from The Godfather. Too soon. But while that's all happening, Father June and Young June are in jail. And Father June's like, you know what? I'm making a break for it. And Young June's like, well, what do we do about all these guards and stuff? And he's like, yo, I'm not going down. And if if they're going to stop me, I'm taking as many of them with me as I can. Mm-hmm. And they each take a couple shivs and they start heading on their way. And then lo and behold, it's the drunken Pinkerton gets there just in time. And there to take Young June, doesn't know about Father June, but Young June's like, I'm not leaving without my dad. And then, like we said, they both end up the halfway. And nobody's more surprised than Assam and Hong. And I mean, they give the bow as well. I mean, this was just a good moment. Like, and we all saw it coming a mile away. We knew Perry was going to come out there. There was no way that Young June was coming back without him, but it still didn't hit any less hard, I found.
Seems to like have them both back changed. Together.
Say again.
It seems like they're both different people now, especially after Young June went through that lockup experience and then got told off by Assam. And Perry, well, Father June makes a nice little reference to people he met in the north, the Chinese ranchers who got run out of town by a white mob with guns. That happened a lot during that time to hundreds of Chinatowns along the western part of the U.S. So it's nice little reference there that they slipped in. And also Father June looks like, well, they exchanged that little glance when they asked Young June when Hong asked Young June what happened, and the Young June delivers the title line. Right, he said whiskey and sticky and everything else can wait.
Yes. But
before that, him and Father June exchange a little glance, and then Father June stays and kind of looks around Chinatown before he walks inside. So
yeah.
I'm curious. I wonder if he'll be attempting to be a hand behind the throne.
Possibly. Do you think he'd want to get the throne back?
No. I don't feel like that would be good for the story.
No, exactly. And also for his legacy, which I'm sure he'd be worried about, like Father June would be worried about, not Perry.
I love how powerful is when Father June appears. When, Perry is so...
Yeah, he commands. Like he commands the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Like it always amazes me that he hasn't done kind of more, like prestigious roles. But maybe that's in his future now after this. I mean, there's so many people that are finally picking up on this. Like I had a friend message me the other day. He's like, I keep hearing you talk about war. He's like, I'm all caught up watching the show after four shifts at work. he does highway construction, just so you know. what else did happen here? Oh, so then as we saw, after everybody kind of settles and Young June gets a little whiskey and some sticky, it's time to discuss everything else. And he's not too happy with Assam giving away half the Hopway territory to his sister. And he's like, what the fuck am I supposed to think? That's your sister. Is this trust broken forever? I'll ask you first, Becca.
I'm sorry?
Is the trust broken forever between Young June and Assam?
I don't think so. I think Young June is kind of becoming reckless because he was feeling too powerful. And Assam just gave him a lecture like, what were you doing facing a policeman like that? You know, you are the leader of the town, you should like think before you act like that. So that's your doing, not mine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he also said, the easiest thing for me could have been to just take everything.
Yes, exactly. I could have left you there.
Exactly. Chow and Lee are going to have to start liking each other quick, though. Yeah. It's funny. It's funny you would say that because, as we saw, Lee and the Secret Service man are heading over to go see Chow to speak with Chow. And I don't know the Secret Service dude's name, but he's like, I'm going to wait around back just in case.
Mosley.
Edmund Mosley, yeah.
Yeah, and so he goes around back. Lee goes in and speaks with Chow, and Chow has a double cross. Just betrays him. It's a trap. And Happy Jack's there to collect the bounty on Lee. And it looked like Mosley got shot. Like, we definitely heard the gunfire go off. He raised his gun at the same time as a person that was ambushing him in the back of the saloon, but we don't know. I think they went away too quick. I don't think he's dead, honestly.
I don't think so either. Otherwise, they would have shown it. It's not like this show is shy about showing someone's head get blown off. So
right, exactly.
Also, Happy Jack finally got happy.
He did. And why did he get happy?
I'm keeping that.
Oh, I can't believe you beat me to it.
For letting you breathe.
That was so good.
Happy Jack was so happy because he double-crossed Chow. And we know he just doesn't like Chow. For a person who works with everybody seems to have issues with Chow a lot. It's a dangerous profession, straddling the line, I think.
Yeah, and he, from what we can tell, he doesn't have any muscle behind him.
No.
So not only are people, if people have an issue with him, they're more likely to express it. You know, there's no one actually fears Chow. He's just a guy who's useful. So you're right. It is a lot of lines to straddle, not just one, right? Because he's playing so many sides. He has to be useful to everyone. And if he's not useful to someone, that could be a death sentence for him because he does so many things that could piss people off to the point where they do want to off him.
Oh, true. He asked where the press is. The press is up in the printer's home, right?
Yeah.
They're being hidden and
it's upstairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the plates were. The press itself was downstairs still.
Oh, okay.
But they hid the plates upstairs.
And here comes Mai Ling with that other little portion. Like, you'll have, you know, Long Z territory to, you know, a safe space to continue what you're doing. And yeah, he had just been talking to Yanmi about finding a new place, a safe place.
None of it's safe. Nobody's safe. And you know why I say nobody's safe? Because next week, Brett's on board. Brett's directing next week. And it's the sixth episode, so we all know what that means. We know it's going to be the batshit crazy fun episode. People are going to get hurt. People are going to get hurt even more so than normal because Brett's in charge. So, and I don't mean in real life. I mean the characters are going
to
get.
With the extra infusion of talent for Mark Dacascos, there's a lot. I hope there's a lot more to be seen from his character when it comes to the action.
Oh, me too. Yeah, because they haven't really done much. He's more just been the wisdom.
But he showed enough, though. Like when was it this episode or the last episode where he has to match up with Leon, where Leon's distracted?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's like, you got to breathe. There's something obviously on your mind. Yeah. You want to talk?
Yeah, but he's Mark Dacascos still has it at age almost 60. A lot of respect to that guy. A lot of respect to that
guy. And I see him out. He's always out running. Like, he's running the mountains like every day. Still, what is he, close to 60 now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's 59, I think. Yeah. I mean, he grew up in a system has a lot of history in Hawaii.
When we were in Cape Town, he was, you know, posting that he was up going up Table Mountain, right, Rebecca? He was doing a lot of hiking.
Oh, no way.
He's very active.
Oh. All right. We got a message from someone who works on the show, so. Definitely. Want to know if they can come on the show. They produce most of the music at the end of Warrior. We've had Rez on before, and we'd love to talk to you and Chop. So send us another message. We'll get back to you though for sure.
Oh, and speaking of which, it was great to hear Jason Chu's piece. What was it? He did. Was it the second episode?
Mm.
Bang that! Bow.
So
bang that! Bow.
That's the thing that, so we were going to try to get some actors and stuff on the show, but with the strike, actors can't come on and promote the show. Same with writers. But I do believe a lot of the production team can come on. Now, we couldn't get someone like Jenny on because she is an actor, not just a stunt actor on the show. But I think there are quite a few people we could have on. I wonder, though, about, I was going to reach out to Brett, and I'd love to have Brett come on. But after he was in last episode, was it?
Like, yeah, the second episode.
Yeah, so I think he would have had to have joined Actra for that. Hmm. So,
but he still went ahead and posted about next week, about this coming week's episode.
Oh, I mean, about Thursday's episode. Thanks, yeah. Derek. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Shannon. Oh, yeah. Because, well, we saw pictures. We saw pictures of Shannon on set in costume. So, and it looked like it was part of this episode. So, I don't know. She better mess somebody up. And when are we going to get JT to do an appearance in one of these shows? I don't think I've ever seen him do a cameo in any of his shows. One day.
I love all of his, you know, the posts that he puts up on each of the actors. And then when he just did one on Hun Lee.
Right.
That was great. That was Job. Great.
He did one about Job. Yeah. I loved it.
Yep.
I loved it.
Yep.
All right, folks, if you haven't, if you love this show, not ours, of course you love ours, but if you love Warrior, that's the reason why you're watching ours. Do yourself a favor. Go out and watch Chopper's original show before that, where him and Hoon were working together, and that was Banshee. They also worked together on Badlands, I think.
C.
Well, they worked together on C, but I think they did Badlands too, didn't they?
Did they? I don't think that's where.
Oh no, sorry. That's where Brett and Olivia met.
Oh.
Was on Badlands.
Yes. Okay. Got it. Marco Polo too. Yeah.
Marco Polo as well. All right. Before we go, folks, this is the end of the show. This week we might not be getting the podcast up. It might be a couple of weeks before the audio's up. So we will be keeping the video up for everybody for the next few weeks until the strike's over, until we figure some other stuff out. But before we go, I need to ask everybody. Steph, I'll start with you. Who was your MVP of this episode?
Well, I absolutely love everything that happened for Bill. Mm. But here's my but. I say Young Jun because he took on everyone in that room. Mm. You know, so I mean, even though he still got beat down, we haven't seen that. And so that was really like the, you know, a big moment for me. So that was, you know, him surviving that, even the you know, the guards came in, mm-hmm. that was an ultimate for me. Cause you can see the physical difference of how much he's been training. And I mean, you can see all the difference in his shoulders. So I love that for him.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Becca, who do you got?
Me?
Yeah. Who was your MVP of this episode?
Yeah. I was thinking about Bill, but actually, despite of me saying that Assam is not looking like the leader anymore, he actually made a good big move, making arrangements with Mai Ling to take Young Jun out of the jail. And as a bonus, he brought Father Jun back.
Yes.
He didn't know, but he did.
A happy little accident.
Awesome.
Love it. And Frank, who do you got for your MVP of the episode?
I'm going to also go with Young Jun because his character has the most arc in this episode. Mm-hmm. Is it going to change him? I don't know yet. But it's through his character that we're able to, one, bring Perry back, but also showed more of the perspective of the regular residents of Chinatown. You know, like
ABCs too.
Oh, the actors or the characters?
The character, because I mean, think about it. Yeah, Young Jun is an ABC, American-born Chinese, you know? Mm-hmm. So this, you know, that's the first time we kind of see, you know, a different type of scene where it's exposing. Mm-hmm. American.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's a lot in really quick succession. And mm-hmm. And it shows everything is a little bit more complicated, right? It's is at the first two seasons, those Chinese, Irish, or Chinese, not Chinese, right? But we see both sides where, or if it's not, it, there's not even two sides, right? There's sides within the Chinese, there's sides within the Irish, there's sides within the Irish plus the non-Irish white people. So it's it's shown a little bit more of the complexities. You know, how did the ordinary shopkeepers feel about the Tongs being there? How did the, you know, how were they, which could have positive and negative at that time, right? What was the original reason those things started? What, where did it end up going? You know, what were some of the unintended harms that might've come from that? So that was a lot that was uncovered, or a lot that was at least touched upon, you know, because of Young Jun's character. So Young Jun, Young Jun is my MVP here.
Great. And I already told you all mine was Bill. I finally feel like he got his redemption arc here, and he's on the side of the angels now, if you will. And I'm digging it. I'm digging it. I hope though. Oh my God. I don't know. I just thought this was just pumped in my head, but so many times in shows like this, when someone gets a redemption arc, they die the next episode.
Don't even say
please
that.
Don't please. If we can't lose Kieran, you know, I'm still not over losing Rich from the show.
Hey, wait. Oh, wait.
Oh,
yellow like, demon. What's happening there?
We almost went rated R. The yellow demon. Love it. Richie Tang.
Yes.
Love goes out to our boy, Rich Tang.
Yes.
We all miss Rich. All right. So, folks, that's our show. Big thanks to everybody who watched us today on YouTube. You guys, you made my day and you made our day as well. Love interacting with all you. If you are watching on Facebook, though, you can go follow us at the Hop This Way Show on YouTube. Help us get our subscribers up so we can start doing the super chats on there and getting some great questions from all of you and doing what we can do. You can catch our past episodes, even though the next few ones won't be up there, at least for a while on podcast, but you can catch our past episodes on podcast format at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Amazon. Just search the Hop This Way Show and you will find us. We are not that hard to find, honestly. Spencer, Benjamin Yee, great show. Love hearing your discussions. Oh, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate all of you for tuning in. Anybody have anything to go out on before we leave?
It was great to see new folks tuning in. So thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
Thanks for interacting. Big, thanks for all your comments. It helps drive us also.
Exactly. Big love to you all. I mean, it's never been more fitting than on an episode named Wait Till the Sticky's Done. I know our mirrors are backwards. But hey, everybody, let's get some stickers. And some whiskey.
I have something to say, guys. Keep promoting the show, please.
Yes.
Let's help get season 4.
Season 4, season 5, season 6, and a movie. Let's do the community thing. 6 seasons and a movie.
So don't be surprised. We're going to keep blasting things because we need to fill all of this space for everybody and keep the hype up.
Thank you, Derek.
Thanks, Derek.
Always good to see you on here every week, man.
Yes, man. One of our biggest supporters. Thanks to you all. He says thanks for adding to all the enjoyment of this show. And last one, we've got the Bombshell Blurt, who's a newcomer. Thank you so much for this. Love the pod. Thanks. And we love you. We love you all. Thank you all. And keep on fighting that good fight. Remember, Warrior Max, send that hashtag out. Love you all.
Yes.
Peace.